We're in Acts chapter 1. Finish up our little mini-series on the Holy Spirit between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. I was in the gym the other day and saw a fella with so many muscles, I felt sorry for him. I thought, my heart, what do you do with all of that? He was beyond muscular. His arms look too big for his body. Where do you buy shirts? How do you get a shirt that's the size of an oak tree for your arms sticking out the side? I could just imagine him saying, I pick things up and I put them down. I pick things up and I put them down. You don't come by muscles like that naturally. You know, you got to work at it. I can't imagine how much work goes into those kinds of muscles. And if you want big muscles, you got to work all the harder for it. There's a lot of weighting that goes into those muscles. And it's a same principle if you want spiritual muscles. Only it's a different kind of weightlifting. It's a different kind of weighting that you must do. And if there's one nugget I want you to take out of the message today, talk more to God. Doesn't all have to be structured, there should be devotional time and all of that. Find a prayer time and stick to it and such. But just talk to God a lot. In the morning when you're getting up on your way to the bathroom and when you get in the car and you're on your way, just talk to God a lot. And you'll hear him reflecting back to you many things. Be open to what God is saying in your life. A knowledge-powered spiritual walk is important, but nothing replaces the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Being present with God, acknowledging him, recognizing he's with us always, but we rarely take note of that fact. And the more we do, the more empowered we're going to become for doing his will in our lives. Skill is important. Strength is important. If you're involved in any kind of a sport, I was talking to one of the young fellows coming in, he's wrestling today. So skill is important and strength is important. You can be very skilled, but if you don't have the strength for the endurance, you're not going to win the meet. You're not going to win the match. Both are important. As we abide in Christ, rest in his presence, our strength will rise. You can know what you need to know. That's very important. But strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. That's the testimony of Scripture. Spend more time with God and you'll be more energized in him. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, this is Jesus being with his disciples after the resurrection and before the ascension. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Father, we pause. We look to you right now. And we ask, is there something here for me? Why am I here at this message this morning? What is the nugget I need to carry away? How are you going to challenge me in my spirit? I talked to a young pastor this week who kind of refreshed the whole devotional thing. He said, you know, even as a pastor, I read the word a lot, but I found myself doing it in repetition. I found myself just checking it off my list. And I got convicted by God to be challenged by the word as I read it. And so, Lord, we want a freshness. We want to freshen up our spiritual sensitivity. We don't just want to sit in church. We don't want to just read the Bible. We don't want to just have our prayer time. Well, we do want it to be dynamic. We want it to be lively. We want it to mean something. So, Lord, poke us and prod us as we need poked and prodded today to be a better version of ourselves in God. And we'll thank you for that help in Jesus' name. Amen. After Jesus was crucified, he rose from the dead. After he rose from the dead, he spent 40 days with his disciples, teaching and preaching and helping them to become established in this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. At the beginning of those 40 days, it was more sporadic, spontaneous, joyful, random, encouraging. And as time went by, it changed in its genre. It became more structured, expected, anticipated, and instructive. At first, it was, surprise, I'm risen from the dead. And later on, it was, hey, tell you what, I'm going to be meeting with you. We're going to be talking about this. Think about this in the meantime. He was helping them get their feet about them. Each of those visits had a profound effect on one of or all of the followers of Christ. So it's been 40 days of Jesus proving his resurrection and shoring up his following. Few, if any, new believers were added during that period, but the followers he had were being revived. Boy, it just took the wind out of their sails, the crucifixion. They just, all their hopes and dreams died agonizingly on that cross. So when Jesus rises from the dead, it's as if they're in a coma, a spiritual coma, and he's resuscitating them by meeting with them time and again and bringing their faith up to full measure. The arrest and crucifixion scattered the flock. The resurrected shepherd gathered them back in. A real necessary work was being done here. I'm so glad he didn't just appear to them once and then leave. This was something that was going to take some time. I'm glad that God recognizes we're a little thick sometimes. And one experience often isn't enough to establish something. You ever learn something at work or been teaching somebody at work and you find out, you know, one resuscitation of the rules or the way you do it, that's not enough. It takes a little bit of repetition over and over again. Layer upon layer we learn, layer upon layer we grow. And God's okay with that. Thank God he's okay with that. That not just, well, I already told you this, I told you that. Well, you're going to have to tell me again, I'm sorry. I'm just a little bit thick. And for 40 days, that's what the Lord did. He, layer upon layer, he got his flock back together again. He resuscitated them. He got them moving in the right direction. Now that they believe in the resurrection, they're able to preach this message to the rest of the world. They're able to understand the crucifixion. While it was happening, it just blew them out of the water. There's no reason for this. There's no cause. I can't understand. Why did that happen? Why? Well, now Jesus is able to fill in that blank for them, and they're able to tell the rest of the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's why the cross. And they could minister this now out of a full heart and understanding. Well, how did God give his Son? As a sacrificial lamb on the cross. And what we need to do is believe. And each one of these apostles would be able to testify that, you know, I had trouble believing it myself at first. And I had Jesus telling me about it. So, you know, I can understand it may take you a little while to come along, but I'm here to tell you it's real. I saw it for myself. He'll be gentle with you. He'll bring you along, but you need to believe. Believe in the Lord. Turn away from your sinful lifestyle. Live a new life because he lives and he gives you this energy. He gives you this grace. As these people experienced the risen Lord, their lives were forever transformed, as will be any who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I don't know if you happened to be watching television yesterday when they cut into regular programming and they did some of the press conference from Kentucky and all of that devastation and so on. And it was interesting to see these people who were a blend of professional and human at the same time. These people deal with tragedies. There was the governor from the state, there was the local police chief, there was the local fire chief, and so on. Just listening to them over and over again, the first thing each one of them said, please pray for us. Please pray for us. And then they would often go to an extent and say, you know, we're going to get through this. We're going to be all right. We need help. And thank you for your expressions that we're still trying to assess everything that happened here. We're going to be all right. But faith was at the core of who they were. You know, you can have all these other things that are going on and the news is about everything but God. Boy, you get in the middle of a tragedy. You're reduced down to the very basic of what is there at the core. Well, without God, we can't make it through this. Would you please pray for us? We need the Lord like never before. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Boy, if it wasn't for him, just finish it off right now. Jesus' followers were filled with joy and anticipation, but they didn't really know what to expect next. He's meeting with them. He's teaching them. And even at the very last, they're asking him about what's going to happen next. And they were completely off base. After all they had been through, they still didn't know what to expect from God. Can you relate to that? I so often say, life's a hoot. You never know what's going to happen. The next phone call, the next edict that comes down from work, everything can change in a moment. Life's a hoot. They didn't know. With all the learning they had and all they had walked with Jesus, they still couldn't guess at what was going to happen next. And I'm sure that it was only human to expect it was going to continue as it was. This is going to be church from now on. Jesus is going to keep showing up. The resurrected Jesus is going to meet with us. That sounds cool to me. How about you? I could get used to that. I could like that. Lord, here's seeing face to face. Lord, here's what's going on. Here's what we need. What do you think I should do about this and that? That's pretty awesome. But that's not what happened. There was a crucifixion. There was a resurrection. There were 40 days of Jesus' visits. And then he ascended. Oh, wait, please don't. No, don't go. No. Hey, we need you now more than ever before. This is different. Lord, every visit was so good. I can't imagine doing without that. Can you picture the difference between going to see the risen Christ and going to listen to someone talk about him? Huh? I mean, that's a pretty big gap, wouldn't you say? You go to a concert, you pay big money because you're going to hear your favorite band, and you find out it's just somebody impersonating them. How many? I want my money back. You know, you're used to going to church, and there's Jesus. Woohoo! I mean, I'm sure Peter was a likable guy, but he's not Jesus. It's changing now. So how in the world are we going to go from, we meet with Jesus all the time, why don't you come meet with us? You're going to really like it. To, he's not here anymore. What do we do now? Well, maybe we could paint murals on the wall. That would be cool. No. God had a plan and a secret weapon. The plan was Jesus was going away. I don't like that plan. But here's the secret weapon. He was sending the Holy Spirit. And if you study your scripture, you're going to find out having the Holy Spirit with us is better than having Jesus meet with us every once in a while. That's the whole genius of God's scheme here. And we need to stop living like we're all on our own. Like he isn't here with us. Like it doesn't work. We need to start working it. We need to talk to him more. We need to allow his presence in our life more. We need to be obedient. We need to follow through. Jesus met with small groups and individuals periodically. But now he can be with all of us all the time. When we meet together as a group, that's great. But also when we're the only Christian on the job or at school or wherever we might be. And Jesus told them, go to Jerusalem and wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I think we're worse at waiting than ever before. That's my own little theory. I heard a fella talk about the entitlement spirit this week. And he said, we have these entitlement feelings. I was a little offended by him saying that. I'm not so entitled. He said, oh no, as if he was reading my mind. He said, which of you would live in a house without air conditioning today? Ooh. Have you ever seen a car? It was a good deal, but it didn't have air conditioning. Who in the world owns a car without air conditioning? Has anybody here lived long enough to have had a car without air conditioning in it? Has anybody here ever lived in a house without air conditioning in it? Yeah, you know, they kept us kids up in the attic. I don't know if you were an attic kid or not, but cold, freezing cold in the winter and blistering hot in the summer. Go to bed and shut up. You know, now. And by the time he was done with me, I thought, oh man, I am so entitled. I just, you know, I sit in the drive-thru and I'm thinking, what did that guy order up there? Come on. I don't blow the horn, but I just, man, oh man. Sometimes it takes 5 or 6 minutes for me to get my dinner. And it just, irks me to no end. It just, we suffer so much anymore. Go and wait. Go and wait. And a lot of people have a misconception. God doesn't answer my prayers. Oh, yes, he does. Just wait. If you'll be a little patient, if you'll take note. You know, journaling is an excellent idea. If you would write down your prayer requests, your problems, you would find out that God answers prayer. He's a great God. Just not like we're used to, perhaps. But Jesus said, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You want to be serious about it? Wait for it. Tell God you want more of him. Look for him. Woo him and wait for him. The waiting wasn't about wooing. It was about getting the church ready for his arrival. The Holy Spirit was going to be poured out. And Jesus said, go get ready. Yeah, and getting ready is key in Scripture. John the Baptist came, why? To get people ready for Jesus coming. Jesus came, why? Well, part of it was to get ready for the Holy Spirit was coming. It's not so much about wooing. It's about getting us ready to receive. God's pouring out. Are we receiving? They didn't know how long it would take. Jesus said, in a few days. This is God speaking. Now, God could have said, in 10 days. He could have said, on the day of Pentecost, make sure you're in Jerusalem because that's when the Holy Spirit's coming. He just gave them a general direction and an open time frame in a few days. Now, Donnie Siebold told us a joke a long time ago. You probably remember it. Fellow was talking to God, and he said, God, how much is $1 million to you? And God said, it's a penny. What about 1,000 years? Oh, it's just like a second. God, could I have a penny? Wait a second. be ready. God's not microwave. He's not instant hot chocolate. Let's light the stove. Get the pot nice and warm. Start warming the milk. Bring it about. It's the way God works. Our attention, it ping-pongs all over the place. And, oh, we want more of God. Oh, that's nice and shiny. Oh, I need to do this and I need to take care of that. And we're really not ready. We're not focused. We're not wanting it bad enough to be ready to receive. So like I say, Jesus didn't tell them a time and date. He just said, go and wait. And if it's important enough to you, you will wait for it. Whatever it is, you will wait for it. I always marvel driving down Eisenhower. There must be something special about Chick-fil-A. They've got four lanes now going through. They've got a parking lot you can call ahead and they'll meet you out there with your food, or you can dine in. And they still have a line out around the corner. If it's important enough to you, you will wait. Otherwise, you pull out from it and you just go somewhere else to eat. But if something's important, I don't know if you've ever been on the phone with the IRS. You might as well block off a few days if you're going to call them and look for an answer. If it's important enough, you'll wait. And we tell God how important He is to us by our willingness to seek after Him. As they waited, they prayed and they worshiped. What were they waiting for? They really didn't know. But Jesus said, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They never saw anybody. That never happened to anybody before. They just assumed it must be good because Jesus said that's what we need next. So He said we need it. That's okay. We'll go and we'll wait for this. And even though it took a few, what would you wait a few days for? Block off that time. Jesus likened being baptized in the Holy Spirit to John the Baptist baptizing people in water. The word baptize is borrowed from the Greek. It was the word used by people who dyed fabric. When you wanted to color fabric, you baptized it. Baptizo is the Greek word. And it wasn't a spiritual term or whatever, but we borrowed it from there. When you said that to somebody, that's the picture they had in mind. You got dyed that color. When you were baptized, you were dunked. You were soaked in that color. I've never dyed anything myself. I remember my mom doing it when I was a kid, that Ritz packet, and you'd mix it with water, and then you'd put the garment in there, depending on how rich and deep the color you wanted is the longer that you left it there. And that's, you will be baptized. You will be dipped. You will be soaked in the Holy Spirit. A divine encounter. Old things dying, new things being imparted. If not for yourself, do you know somebody you would love to see them soaked in God for a while? Lord, leave me there long term. Oh, keep them overnight, God. Just, they really need a soaking. But in God, old things pass away. Everything becomes new. They had been with Jesus. Now they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want more time soaking in the presence of God. I want more time with God. I hope that becomes a desire of yours. As I said in my prayer, sometimes the best of us can get used to the rhythm of being a Christian, having devotions and going through the steps, and yet it becomes perfunctory to us. We just do it. It's like driving to work in the morning. Did I really make that turn? And so on. Oh, I need you, Lord. I need you more. I need it. I need it real. I need it right. I need it ripe. I want more of God. I want to be sure I'm not only baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it's a continual experience in my life. Talking to other people about this experience of God in my life and how He's showing up and the neat things that He is doing. A divine encounter. You can't go wrong getting more of God. You just can't. I know that there are some freaky people, they're fanatics, they're this, they're that, they're weird, whatever. You can't go wrong getting more of God. And I'll bet you some of the people you love the most are godly people. You can count on them. They're honest. They're helpful. They're loving. They're full of the Lord. You can't go wrong getting more of God. I want more, Lord. I want more. We become an ever darker shade of the Holy Spirit. You know, you get that red packet, you dip the garment in, comes out pink. You let it in there a little bit longer, comes out red. Oh, let her soak in there a good long time, it's burgundy. Every encounter we have with God, it gets a little deeper, it gets a little richer, we get a little more Holy Spirit in us. It is renewed as we go. You ever make the mistake? There's the new red sweatshirt and you washed it with your whiteies and everything's pink when it comes out. It has that effect on other things around it. Wouldn't you love to have that effect on the people around you? Rather than you becoming more worldly from being around them, they're getting a little more godly. They're being a little more careful. You've probably all had the experience before. They curse like they always curse, but then all of a sudden, oh, I'm sorry. And you almost wonder why they start doing that. Well, you're starting to bleed. You're starting to, you know, disseminate that and distribute it on others. They're becoming pink and starting to get a sense of God about things. We sit in His presence until His fragrance becomes our fragrance. His isms become our isms, His mannerisms, His character traits, His expressions, His gestures. We've long marveled at the effectiveness of retreats when it comes to connecting with God. We send our youth off to a retreat, they come home transformed. I know a number of people who grew up in the Catholic Church, and they never even knew God till they went off on a retreat, even a Catholic retreat, where they spent time with God and they came home transformed. Why? Because there was concentrated, undistracted time alone with the Lord. We need seasons sometime that we set aside and we mark it that this is going to be my time with God. Here's the secret. Prolong time set aside to be with the Lord apart from everyday distractions. I know it sounds wonderful. It sounds marvelous. Pastor, you don't have any little kids at home, do you? You don't have a job like I do right now. The phone's not on. No, I don't. But all of us needs to find a way and a time. If it's important to us, then we spend the time to be with Him. Verse 8 in chapter 1 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Why do I want more of God? Why do I need to soak? Because it's then that we become His witnesses. It's not that you just do witnessing, it's you become it. Just you walk in the room and it's part of the of the afterglow. It's part of the ambiance because you're there. You carry the Holy Spirit with you wherever you go. The empowerment that comes with being baptized in the Holy Spirit is we become Jesus's, we become effective witnesses for the Lord. Don't you want to be effective? Don't you want it to work? Don't you want people's lives to be changed? Don't you want them to come to Christ? Well, then you got to stay plugged in a little bit more if the energy's going to flow through you to others. You got to find that time. You got to find that place. Learn how to witness. Memorize some scriptures. That's all good stuff to have in your toolbox. But then follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. When you're having that conversation, when that comes out of your mouth, then you'll be as surprised as they are that you came up with something like that. But it's your heart's desire. It's who you have become. Why are you here? To work a job for 40 or 50 years and get a pension or a 401k and retire better than you otherwise would have? Really? End up in a better old folks home than a worse one? Yikes. Yikes indeed. No. No, I'm a light bulb. And I need a few more watts. I've been a dim light bulb, but I want to be a little brighter. I want to live a little more. I want to love a little more in the name of the Lord. Get to know his voice, how he prompts, how he leads. Test what you hear to be sure it's of him. And then once you know you've heard from him, be obedient to that call. Yes, Lord, I will. Yes, God, I step forward. So we sit in his presence, as I say, till his fragrance becomes our fragrance, his isms become our isms. Our spiritual colors become more vivid, more distinct. We become more comfortable with it. At first, we were worried. We were afraid they were going to find out we're a Christian. They're going to make fun of us. They're going to this, they're going to that. And then after a while, well, I can't wait until they know that I'm a believer. I want them to, every time they look at me, think about Jesus. Oh, that's a wonderful place to be. You walk in the room and the conversation changes. That's awesome. You walk back, they start confessing things to you. I didn't ask. I don't care to know. I'm sorry. But they recognize the presence. The colors are becoming more vivid. Our words carry more weight, more power. We become moved by what is in our heart and comes out of our lips. Wow, that was good, God. That's awesome. We're not here alone. He is with us. We start hitting more doubles, triples, and home runs with the same amount of effort. Before, we were happy with a walk or even getting hit by a pitch. Just get me on base, God. Just use me somehow. But all of a sudden, we stepped to the plate with a little more confidence. God showed up the last time. He did this. And now I'm expecting that he's going to show up again. We're becoming both more skilled and stronger as we wait on the Lord. Please don't be satisfied this morning. You're a lot further along than you used to be. I'm sure you are. Hallelujah. But don't be satisfied with where you're at. Ask for a little bit more, and then a little bit more. Would you stand with me this morning?